Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you all. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read from that first chapter. Verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. See the wee word all? That's important. When Luke, who is the author of this book, the Acts, when he told his friend about the Lord Jesus, he told him all that Jesus began to do and teach. Preachers need to learn from that. Preachers need to teach all that's in the Bible. Can't skip over things because we maybe don't like what is being said. Because there's things in the Bible that go against the grain in our old sinful hearts. But we must submit to what the Bible says, and preachers must preach it all. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So the Lord didn't leave this earth until he had repeated the commandments that the apostles were to obey. That was the last thing he did. Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, that is, his death on the cross, by many, infallible. Do you know what infallible means? Absolutely true. Can't be disputed. By many, infallible proofs. The Lord Jesus didn't just tell us that these things are true and leave it there, but he has given proof that we can study and we can rest on and be assured that he really was born at Bethlehem, lived a holy life, died on the cross an atoning death, rose again from the dead and ascended to heaven. There's proof of that. There are witnesses of those events, and their witness testimony is here in this wonderful Bible. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He didn't just appear once, but for 40 days. And 40 in the Bible, if you remember, 40 years in the wilderness, 40 days was quite a long time, and it was of such a length that nobody can deny that it was long enough to lay down proofs that could not be refuted or denied. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Well, we're beginning really to get into the Acts of the Apostles in our study today. And we're remembering that this book is a witness to a friend called Theophilus. I wonder, did he call him Theo for short? He might have. Theophilus is a big long name. But anyway, this friend Theophilus was given a full record of what the Lord Jesus had both done and said. And you know, what Luke wrote to this friend has been read by millions. Millions. And the blessing that this letter, we'll call it that, was to Theophilus has been a like blessing unto millions over the last 2,000 years. And here we are in Kilskerry, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem, studying the same letter. Why hasn't it got lost? Why did it not just crumple away and be forgotten? Because this is the Word of God, and God has preserved it, that we might learn from those things that have been written here by his inspiration. He gave the words to Luke to write to his friend. And I'm going to repeat something that I have striven to press home upon you. It is to be noted that Christians should seek to lead friends and acquaintances to a greater knowledge of the Saviour. Luke had already written a letter to his friend. That's the Gospel of Luke. That was the first letter he sent to Theophilus. And there he told the whole wonderful story of the Lord Jesus. But now he's going to add to that and tell him more what the Lord did through the Holy Spirit in the early years of the Gospel New Testament Church. And so we ought to likewise share the Gospel with friends, not be ashamed to speak of the Saviour, and not only share some things that the Saviour did and said, but go on to tell of the wonderful work that took place after he went to heaven and he wrought by his Spirit amongst the nation. We need to be able to do that. Now, you can't tell your friend about what the Lord did in the early days of the church if you haven't studied the Acts of the Apostles. You can't tell your friend that which you don't know. So you have to read the book and study it before you can pass it on. Now, meditating upon how the Lord led the early Christians will help us to increase our knowledge of the Lord as we see what God did amongst the early Christians and the things he taught them and the things he commanded them to do will teach us what is God's will for us today. Men live without a thought of what God wants us to do. I was thinking as Mrs. Foster led in prayer and she asked the Lord to bless us, and then she thanked the Lord for the blessings he has already given us today. And I immediately thought to myself, I wonder how many here are conscious that God blessed them today. I wonder how many of you, as you travelled to school, thought, God has blessed me today. And you could name the things that were the blessings of God upon you. In truth, we really hardly ever think of the goodness that we constantly enjoy. It's like the sunshine. It's lit up the world. It's shining down. It's enabling us to go about and see what we're doing. But we hardly ever think about the sunshine. Yet it's one of the blessings of the Lord. And it's an illustration of how there comes from heaven upon us every second of the day the blessing and mercy of God. If you were to put your hand on your chest, what would you feel? Feel your heart beating? Who tells your heart to beat? It beats away and you never think about it. Boys and girls, that's one of the blessings of the Lord. He gives us life and strength every day and we rarely ever think about it. And even more rarely do we thank the Lord. Oh yes, we need to meditate upon God's word and see the mercy he pours upon his people. And when we study the Acts of the Apostles, you will see there the mercy of God that accompanied the people. Oftentimes they didn't realize it, but the Lord was there accompanying his people by his Spirit and blessing them. As we read the Acts of the Apostles and study it, there's a number of things that we will notice. The difficulties that Christians encounter. It's good to recognize that. If you run into trouble, it's nice to know, well, this has happened to other people. This is not just something that's happening to me. Others have encountered this. And what's more, I can see in the records that we have in God's word how others who ran into the same trouble as I'm running into acted, how they overcame the difficulties, how God intervened, helped them, blessed them, led them out of trouble. That's why we study the Bible. And in the Acts of the Apostles, you see the difficulties that faced those early Christians and how they coped by the mercy of God. We'll also see the attempts of the devil to hinder the gospel work, because there is a great enemy who tries to hinder everything God wills and purposes amongst his people, the devil. He stirs up men to oppose the gospel, fills their minds and their mouths with opposition to the gospel. And when we come to the Acts of the Apostles, Luke's record, we will see what the devil did, and we'll recognize he's still doing the same things. Do you know that? The devil can't change. I want to tell you that. The devil cannot change. In warfare, many a commander has planned an attack on the enemy, put the plan into operation, and it was a complete failure. And he says, we'll not do that again. It doesn't work. But you know, the devil, when he attacks the work of God, and invariably it fails, sooner or later. Sometimes he seems to have a little success, but in the end God brings him down. But does he say, well, we'll not try that again, for it didn't work? No. The next day he will launch the same attack. He never learns. The devil can't learn, won't learn. And as we read the Acts of the Apostles, we will see his attempts to hinder the work of God, and thereby we can look out for the same attempts being made during our lifetime. In the Acts of the Apostles also, as we study it, we'll see the deceivers and the false Christians who creep into the church. There were many in those days of blessing and power, stirred up by the devil, came into the church, pretending to be Christians, talking like Christians, acting to some measure like Christians. And we learn to watch out for them. You know, oftentimes, say in Enniskillen, although it happens in all of the towns, but oftentimes in Enniskillen, the police will go round all the shops and they'll talk to those who work in the shop and they'll say, listen, there are those who have come to the town today to steal, to pass off false money by buying things. Watch out for them. Here's what they look like. Here's how they are dressed. And so the shopkeepers are warned. That's what the Acts of the Apostles does for us. It acts like a policeman, as it were, and tells us the sort of people who will creep into the church to hinder the work of God and steal from us the blessings of God. Furthermore, when we study the Acts of the Apostles, we'll see the mistakes that Christians have made. Yes, mistakes made by the best people. Peter made mistakes. Great man. Did a great work for God. But mingled in with his great work for God, there were mistakes. Notions came into his head, and without thinking or proper consultation with the Lord, he acted upon those notions. And he did wrong. And it wasn't just Peter. Barnabas, a wonderful man. But still, we read of the mistake he made. In fact, and we'll come to it, I hope, eventually. We read about a mistake he makes, falls out with Paul, goes away from Paul, and we never hear of him again. Oh, Christians do that. They make mistakes, and without proper consulting of the Lord, they start down a road, and they never do anything again for God. So these things we can learn in the Holy Scripture, and especially we can learn these things in the Acts of the Apostles. We'll be looking out for these things. Paul wrote in Romans 15 verse 4, these things have been written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now he was talking about all the Old Testament books when he wrote that. But we can take those words and apply them to the Acts of the Apostles. These things that are recorded in the Acts of the Apostles are written for our learning. But you'll never learn them if you don't read carefully, repeatedly, the Acts of the Apostles. One last thought before we finish. The day of the Saviour's departure from this world was the first day of a new era, a new age, the gospel age. Look at what we read. In the verse 1, Luke says, I've written to you about the things Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles. So the gospel leads us up to the end of an age. Saviour's crucified, he's rising from the dead, and then he's taken up to heaven. And that's the end of an age. And there begins a new era, a new age, the gospel age. And up until the end of the gospel, the focus of God's mercy was upon one nation, the Jew. The Lord Jesus was born a Jew. You ever remember that? Because hatred of Jews is increasing across the world. Tax upon them everywhere. Even in our own United Kingdom. But you never forget. You never think ill of the Jew. I don't say that you ignore any sins that a Jew commits. You shouldn't do that. But at the same time, the nation of the Jew is a special nation. And the Lord Jesus was a Jew. And he will never be, according to the flesh, a Jew. How can we hate the people of whom the Lord Jesus is a member? Well, the Jews acted terribly against the Lord, crucified him, rejected him, said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And God turned his back on them. And for the last 2,000 years or so, the Jew has been out there in the wilderness, out in the dark, because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus. They have been rejected by God, and he has turned his back upon them. And when the Saviour ascended to heaven, he sent his apostles out to the nations of the earth. This is the Gentile age, not a Jewish age. That ended, as it were, at the cross. But now this is a Gentile age. You're Gentiles. You don't belong to the nation of Israel. You're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. But God, and it was a judgment upon the Jew, sent the gospel out to the nations of the earth. And the Jew, if he had but an understanding of the ways of God, should recognize that God has turned his back on us, gone to the Gentiles. And that's a judgment against us. That's what the Jew should recognize. Of course, very, very few of them do recognize that. I've had the joy of meeting one or two in my life who didn't act like their forefathers, but believed the gospel and received the Lord Jesus as their Messiah. And they understood very, very clearly that God had acted in judgment against them when he turned to the Gentiles. And that's why we have the gospel here today. The Jew rejected it, and God, in mercy to the Gentile, turned to the Gentile. The last words, virtually, of the Saviour to his apostles was, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every creature! You know, of course, that the apostles were very slow to obey that. And the reason they were slow to obey that was because for centuries God's truth was revealed only to them, and they couldn't take in that God now was going to go to the Gentiles, who up to that time had virtually been totally ignored. Couldn't take it in. In fact, there were many of the Jews who were converted who objected to the apostles preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul the Apostle, I want you to understand this, Paul the Apostle suffered much at the hands of his fellow Jews because he went out among the Gentile nations preaching. He went to Greece, he went to Spain, he went to Italy and all the countries around Asia like Turkey. He went through all those lands, and there were those Jews who just couldn't take in that God had turned to the Gentiles. Hated him for that and persecuted the poor man. And that's what we'll discover in the Acts of the Apostles as we come to the labours of Paul in the gospel. In every city he came to, the Jews that lived in that city got together, stirred up trouble. And poor old Paul was beaten, stoned, was kicked out of the city, had a run for his life at times. All these things we'll learn. How slow God's people are to obey. To obey what God commands. Don't let that slowness mark your life. You be ready and eager, as I hope you are in class. When the teacher begins the class, I hope you're ready. Pen in hand, pencil in hand, jotter open, book open, ready to listen, to hear, to learn. Well, likewise, read your Bible like that. Well, boys and girls, the Lord bless his word to each one of them. We're bowing in prayer. O God, our Father, we pray that you will write your word upon the hearts of the boys and girls. May they find themselves stirred to heed what is written in thy word, to act upon it, to obey it.
Bless the school today, Lord. We thank thee for this place. O God, we can never measure all that thou hast done for us in giving us a school. Bless the teachers. May they be conscious that they are the instruments of God for the good of the children. Hear us now. Bless the homes of the children too, mums and dads, for Jesus' sake.
Amen. Amen.